Food prices are up, rent is up, energy bills are up. Pretty much everything feels more expensive. But what's actually driving it? Is it war, inflation, housing shortages, corporate profits, or something deeper in the global economy? Today, we're breaking down the real reasons behind the cost of living crisis. I'm Rehan.
And I'm Sasha.
And welcome to Capitalist and Consequences. So Sasha, what do you think about the new name?
I feel like it's more punchy, and yeah. I feel like the Daily Economist, though it did sound good, it was more our podcasts are not daily, they're weekly.
Well, yeah.
And I feel Capital and Consequence perfectly summarizes what we as a podcast try to achieve.
Yeah, I think
what we want to do.
I think Capitalist and Consequences is a lot better, and it's quite hooking, it's quite interesting.
Exactly.
As well. So yeah, today we are going to talk about why everything feels so expensive.
It's a horrible thing where mothers, parents, they all can't buy they need, like, yeah, food on the table, housing, etc. And I feel like we want to try explain a bit of why it's so expensive. So I want to go firstly into what everyone says, the BBC, all these different news outlets. They say inflation is up. They throw inflation around, but we just don't know what it means and how it affects
yeah,
all of our lives. Now, inflation is let me first explain what inflation is. It's a rate which average price of goods and services increase over time.
Yeah.
When inflation rises, the purchasing power, or how much your money is able to buy, falls. Mm-hmm. Meaning people need more and more money to buy the same goods they could have bought before. Inflation does normally occur when demand for goods increases faster than supply, when production costs rise, or when the money supply increases in the economy.
Yeah, that's very similar to what I have, I think. And obviously, we can just notice inflation. Exactly. All around, right? So I think, 10 years ago, a chocolate bar would have been much, much cheaper than it is right now. So I think we can really tell, like, you can go to the supermarket and you can, like, tell that inflation is definitely up. And it really is.
And so why? So normally the Bank of England, our bank, tries to keep inflation stable, normally around 2%, to keep everyone having the same sort of purchasing power they normally have, as too low of inflation can cause something called the opposite of hyperinflation, where it's money buys too many goods and it causes a crash in the economy. So that's why it's 2% and not zero. So what are some evidence of the current inflation prices, and so how is it affecting us? So in 2022, where it hit the most, it was 11.1%.
Mm-hmm.
That was the highest level in 40 years. It was so catastrophic for so many people, and the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development reported that inflation across developed economies average around 4-6% in recent years. And we can see in the daily news, Trump is trying to force the Federal Reserve to put inflation down. But
yeah,
inflation is something where you have to dance around, because it's such a hard thing to control. And the impact is so visible.
Mm-hmm.
Average prices for pasta, vegetables, the normal necessities are going more and more expensive for the average person in the UK.
Yeah, and inflation is so high right now that both my wallet and the economy are falling down.
Exactly.
And when we think about what inflation is, how is inflation caused besides just growth and supply and demand? Is there a bigger reason behind that?
There's many other reasons why inflation growth increases. Also, for example, maybe productivity in companies are decreasing. Inflation is caused when some things which you want to purchase, like, for example, vegetables in this example. If farmers give out less vegetables in a harvest, people have the same demand, it will increase prices. So supply and demand is probably the most important factor for inflation.
Yeah, and also I feel that one of the big things that leads to everything feeling more expensive is regarding energy.
Yeah.
And the energy shock.
I fully agree.
That the UK has had, because the UK imports around half of its gas, and even domestic production is priced at global market rates. So before 2022, which was before the Russia-Ukraine war, European gas prices were relatively stable.
Yeah.
So Russia supplied about 40% of the EU's gases. But after the invasion, gas prices in Europe peaked at over 300 euros per megawatt hour in 2022. And that's compared to the pre-war levels, which were closer to 20 pounds. Euros, sorry.
If, as we are talking about energy, the reason why things are so expensive is also because, as you said, energy is also increased inflation. And the IMF, one of the biggest economic researchers and tried to understand how the economy works, it said that in 2021, after the Ukraine war and the attack, the Israel-Gaza war, it was one of the largest contributors to inflation.
Yeah.
So, how does the average person feel this rise in energy? Energy is used in operating factories, transporting goods, powering machinery, and heating buildings. And when oil or gas or electricity prices increase, this is when normal people are having more difficult trying to heat their homes, especially in the winter.
And not just that, but also energy is used in almost every stage of production for almost anything. So for manufacturing, for example, obviously energy is used, but even something more simple, like let's take a bakery, right? So if energy prices increase by 50%, a bakery might face higher electricity bills, which means higher flour costs, because, you know, farming and milling both use energy, and therefore higher delivery costs, which all leads to a piece of bread being more expensive than it normally was and would be.
Exactly. A main reason for why, unfortunately, things are so expensive is because all the different conflicts and wars.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Russia-Ukraine war started, but also the Israel-Gaza war, the Ukraine is one of the largest contributors of wheat in Europe.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It transports this wheat to all of North Africa, Europe, and much of the continent relies on Ukrainian wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And during the Russia-Ukraine war, there's a large hamper on Ukrainian exports of wheat. So that's why bread and other things containing wheat have increased in price. Also because the climate change. Mm-hmm. Many in the populist right believe that climate change is not affecting the economy, but it truly is, especially for farmers.
Yeah.
As climate change affects crop yields and how much rain they get, and if the climate change affects how much food farmers get, they will have to increase the prices to keep having the same rate of income they had before. So normal people in lower or middle class areas are finding it more and more expensive due to things out of their own control.
Yeah, and for example, let's take Europe, for example, and all the heat waves across Europe, that all leads to crops failing.
Exactly.
And therefore, that leads to, again, as you said, lower yields. Therefore, global supply contracts and prices rise. And food is globally priced. And also, the UK imports around 40% of its food. So it directly absorbs what the global price pressures are.
Exactly.
So if the global price for certain food suddenly increases, then the UK is importing more, and therefore we have to pay more money for that food.
And I would like to get some numbers out too, for so yeah. people understand.
We love numbers, don't we?
Yeah, we love our numbers. So we understand how much food prices have increased. So the ONS, the main place for the statistics for the UK, have understood that around 16 to 90% of the the prices have increased by 16 or 19%, one of the highest increases in decades. Mm-hmm. And again, our favourite, the IMF, also said that the global food prices surged during the Russia invasion of Ukraine and the Israel war, the Israel and Gaza war. Yemen and countries like this have actually experienced famine because of the price increase during these places.
Is food inflation slowing down, do you know?
Unfortunately not. Ukraine, mm-hmm. again, as I said, one of the most large producers of wheat, have most of their wheat destroyed. However, other countries are building up more of a resilience to this and growing more
yeah,
of their
so
wheat.
I think in,
so do you have some numbers on that?
Yeah, so according to the BRC, which is the British Retail Consortium, right, annual food inflation fell to 3.5% in February 2026,
exactly.
which is great for me because now when we go shopping for our grocery bill, it's not just terrifying, it's
exactly.
only shocking. So there are levels and we've moved down a bit, but it's still, we still have the problem, which is that 3.5% isn't great.
No.
And also with what's going on with Iran...
Exactly.
And trade
that,
and stuff
yeah,
like that.
That'll probably increase the price.
So what do you think, like, obviously our next week, for spoiler for the viewers, is going to be regarding Iran and
yeah.
the economic impact that it can have on our economy. But just for a brief thing, how exactly does Iran impact us? And how is this Iran war that is now being created starting to affect us? Because so from what I got, right, oil's traded in dollars, so when tensions threaten supply, traders must like price risk immediately.
Yeah, 100%.
And so suddenly it increases a lot. And also if we think about the Strait of Hormuz, the gas, and obviously with the Strait of Hormuz closing down now
yeah.
because of the Iran war, I suspect that we're going to see gas and energy increasing a lot.
So, I won't spoil it for next week,
yeah.
but I'll give you a bit of how it will affect food prices. Iran is one of the most important places for pistachios, tomatoes, and other fruits and nuts. And it's also where it creates most of the organic chemicals
mm-hmm.
for food. And... Iran, with this new war, and as you said, oil. So, firstly, I'll talk about oil.
Mm-hmm.
I might wonder, why does oil affect food prices? Oil prices will affect the way which our large
yeah.
transport network will be affected.
Yeah, so adding to that, right, if we think about it, oil can affect petrol prices, but they can also affect like aviation fuels, plastics, packaging, chemicals, delivery networks, every single thing.
Yeah.
And that will lead to increases in our food yet again.
Yeah. And so I think it will repeat where it will cause a large disruption on the global shipping
mm-hmm.
as Strait of Hormuz, not only one of the key shipping sites, but Iran is one of the biggest suppliers of fuel for these shipping containers. And with the closure and this very volatile conflict in Iran, it will probably increase the prices. So in 2020, when during the pandemic, prices increased by 300%.
Ooh.
And I believe, I won't spoil it, but
yeah.
it may experience something like that.
Yeah, so if you want to hear more about Iran, you know where to come to next week.
And just to finish on Iran, because we don't want to spoil it all, as I said before, it is one of the major producers of pistachio, tomatoes, and other fruits and nuts. And if with its conflict and its farmers in a sense of worry, these exports will damper increasingly and we'll probably have increasing food prices on these certain areas.
Okay, so now let's move over to like almost an individually UK problem.
Fun.
Which is housing.
Yes.
And why rent and house prices are so high. Because housing is one of the biggest contributors to the cost of living crisis, especially in the UK. So even if you're not buying a house, housing costs affect you through rent and overall inflation. So what is the basic problem summarized? It's basically supply v demand. So the UK housing crisis is caused by the fact that the demand for housing is growing faster than the supply. And the demand for housing is mainly growing due to four things, including population growth, higher immigration, more people living alone, and urbanization. So more people wanting to live in cities like London, Manchester, Birmingham. But the number of homes being built has not been kept up with that demand.
No.
So I've got some numbers for you, which is that the UK government has a target of building around 300,000 homes per year.
Yeah.
But the country only actually builds closer to 200,000 to 240,000 homes per year, which means every year there's a shortage of around 10,000 homes.
Yeah. And another main people, especially for young people, is that rent. And ONS, my favourite, reported that UK private rents increased by around 69% annually in recent years.
Oh, that's great.
It's amazing. But, and unfortunately too, the way where the, as we'll go into more detail, the lack of wage growth compared to how much houses, how much house pricing increases, causes people, younger people especially, just don't have the wages to buy a home.
Yeah, yeah. And when landlords more, and yeah, exactly. So the next point is almost regarding, what's it called? Like planning rules and planning laws and building restrictions. So one major reason for the housing supply is limited in the UK is because of the strict planning laws that we have. So local councils control planning permissions for new housing development. So many of these new projects are delayed or rejected because of infrastructure limitations, local opposition, and environmental concerns. And there's also an issue of something almost individually UK and like a British thing, which is the thing called of NIMBYism, which is not in my backyard. So what does that, like, that's basically people support building new homes in theory, but they oppose developments near where they live because they worry about traffic, losing green spaces and stuff like that. And because local residents have a lot of political influence, many housing projects face strong opposition. So we're almost in a position where people want it to happen, but like they don't want it to happen near them, which just doesn't make sense.
And I just want to have a little small bit of data which I just find so increasingly shocking. Compared to wage increase, compared to housing increase, houses prices increased by 3.5 times the average wage prices.
Ooh, wow.
So a person around 50 years ago would have the houses are five times less expensive than they were in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is very concerning.
Yeah.
And like, if we think about it, where are we going with this? So how much are housing prices going to increase compared to wage prices? What do you think?
The thing, we really don't know. It depends on how wages increase and how much percent, if they follow inflation and they try to, because inflation has also increased more than wage prices. So, and employers just don't have enough capital to supply wages, which will keep on track with inflation.
Yeah,
and this follows brilliantly with wage growth and why wage growth and labor costs are making it more expensive and why it's more expensive to buy certain things.
And the other thing is regarding interest rates. So in 2022, when interest rates surged, what happened is the Bank of England raised... inflation surge. I just realized I said interest rate surge. The Bank of England raised interest rates to try and slow the economy. So the interest rates increased from around 0.1% in 2021 to over 5% by 2023. So what does this lead to? It led to dramatically increased mortgage costs. So if someone had a £200,000 mortgage at 2% interest, that's only around £850 per month. Now it's at 6%, that's around £1,200 per month, which is an increase of roughly £350 per month. Yeah, it's all adding on. Everything is just going on.
Not only the inflation of food, the increase in interest rates in the homes, all these things compiled into one person taking away a person's percentage of their wage. It's getting so increasingly large. I always wonder how people keep up with their finances.
Yeah. And the next one, I'm going to say it's a bit controversial, but it is good podcast material, which is corporate pricing power, also known as greedflation.
Mm.
So when inflation happens, firms are able to raise prices because they can just blame energy, supply chains, or war. But in some industries, profit margins increased beyond cost rises. So if we were to think about like market concentration, in many sectors, like only a few firms dominate. So for example, UK supermarkets, Tesco, Sainsbury's, Asda, Morrisons, they dominate market share. And therefore, because of the energy supply increasing because of like the Russia-Ukraine war, pandemic, all of that, small firms collapse because they're not able to handle the new price growth. And that means these firms now have more pricing power.
And these large corporations like Asda, Tesco, etc., they are able to put lower prices on their goods. But companies are doing this sort of insider trading where they all mutually agree to not lower prices. So Tesco, for example, can advertise Asda prices. This sort of greed where instead of companies trying to compete with each other as our country, a capitalistic country, should be trying to achieve. Instead, it's where countries try to work together to have create a monopoly where all, for example, Tesco, Asda, they're allowed to keep prices to an ungodly amount because they can just advertise it's Asda prices. And if Asda doesn't decrease them, they will still get the same amount of revenue.
And also, like, major oil companies like BP and Shell, it was actually reported that they had a huge profit increase during the energy crisis. And also large food companies increased prices significantly. And that led to criticism that companies were profiting from the crisis. For example, some oil companies made tens of billions in profits when the period when energy prices were extremely high. So if we were to think about like the supply shocks that gave companies a price cover. So during crises like COVID or the energy shock, supply disruptions created legitimate reasons for a price increase. However, like some economists also argue that they created something called price cover, which is that consumers already expected higher prices, so companies could increase prices without facing as much backlash. So if I were to just give an example, if a product costs £10 before inflation and costs increase by a pound, the company might raise it to £12 instead of £11. And because consumers already expected the price rises, the company is betted on the fact that they may not notice that extra increase.
Now to the one which I find most surprising is population growth, where as the population of the UK grows by migration and by birth rate, people will need more housing, energy, consumer, all these sorts of things. And it's going back to the main sort of point of the supply and demand.
Yeah.
Where most of the things we talked about, oil, food prices, inflation, housing. They all talk about how there's less, more demand, but less supply.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any ideas how to fix this?
Well, when, like, I think that, for example, in the UK, there were 57 million people in the 1990, yeah. around 57 million. And there's around 67 million people today, which is like roughly 10 million more people in 30 years. So it's almost as though, is there much we can do about it? What do you think? Do you think there is anything we can do about it? Because the economy loves population growth, but does it really?
So I'm not going to go on the view of the populistic right where we have to reduce migration and, you know, kick out the migrants. I do believe migrants are an important way for, you know, outsourcing work and keeping pushing this economy forward. Mm-hmm. And if we start creating a scapegoat where migrants are the blame, it was instead of creating a community in the UK, instead it creates division, which we don't want at all. So how can we increase demand, supply, sorry?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, which is that the UK, again, they're failing to meet their housing goals.
So I have three ways to fix it, and I'll see what you have.
Go on.
Okay, so I'll go first. Firstly, let's try to increase the supply. This is so simple, but it's so important. Firstly, we build more factories, increase farming production, and improve manufacturing technology. How do we do this? We do this by not only with the government increasing subsidies in that sort of areas, for example, in farming, but increasing more importance and highlighting the importance, for example, of what farmers do to this country. Farmers, are, in my opinion, are the backbone of the country. And if we highlight their importance, not only will they try to strive for better, more people will become farmers, I hope. And if we try to create subsidies for more factories, more places for agriculture, or in general, in a geography term, increase the secondary sector.
Yeah.
I feel like the government, the economy will be massively benefited from this. Secondly, let's try to improve the supply chains. Currently now, this country relies on shipping containers filled with all these different parts. But as we've seen before, like for example, in the Suez, where the container was stuck, we are too reliant on this. And the way we can increase supply and supply chains is not only by expanding ports and shipping capacity, improving railways and roads, but also trying to reduce delay at borders.
Mm-hmm.
And this will why will this help? As it will help because more faster and more efficient delivery increases supply in shops and will lower prices. Mm-hmm. Now, third and finally, before we go into your points, let's encourage more competition.
Mm-hmm.
These companies like Tesco, Asda, Sainsbury's, they all try to insider trade. Well, I'm not allegedly, because I don't want to get sued. if we try to increase competition, companies will have to lower prices to get back the main goal of, you know, main markets. So how can we do this? Let's try to allow new businesses to enter markets, prevent monopolies like we have in the food sector, and try to reduce the barriers for smaller companies. If we do this, we'll make more competition and lead to lower prices and better products, because companies will try to strive to become better and try to gain the market back. Yeah. And currently now, governments often use competition laws to prevent these companies from dominating markets.
Yeah.
So what do you have?
So one big one for me is that is regarding housing, and quite simply build more houses.
Mm.
Because the biggest pressure from population growth in the UK is the housing demand, which is, again, like I said before, there's more demand than supply because the UK is failing to reach their 300,000 homes per year.
Exactly.
So if we match, like if we did achieve that, then I feel like housing prices would stabilize much better, much, much more. And that's a rather simple one to do. And also, we like in cities, for example, I say we should allow like higher density housing or more social housing.
Exactly.
And Yeah, and also reforming planning laws. That's a big one. Reforming planning laws so that our housing developments are approved much faster. Another one could be about maybe increasing supply again. Like you said, yeah. This supply is limited. If the government increase supply, competition increases and prices fall. And that's very similar to what you said. And that's also something called supply side economics, just for a little key term out there. And again, I also agree with increasing competition in markets. It's a very good one because governments can reduce prices by forcing competition, and that'll break up monopolies, prevent mergers, regulate industries.
Exactly.
That's a very good one.
Thank you.
And then maybe also, this might be a iffy one, but reducing taxes, like especially VAT. Reducing VAT. So when governments lower prices directly by reducing taxes. So in the UK, the VAT rate is 20%. So if VAT is reduced, businesses charge less, consumers pay lower prices. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, the UK actually temporarily reduced VAT on hospitality from 20% to 5%, which lowered prices for restaurants, hotels, tourism, which is a great way to do that.
So do you want me to conclude?
Go on.
Perfect. So for people who just joined a bit later, this is the main ideas we talked about and summarized. So why have prices increased? Firstly, includes high inflation across global economies, rising energy and fuel costs, significant food prices increased, global supply chain disruptions, higher housing and rent costs, rising wages and labor costs, and government economic policies and interest rate changes. Together, all these factors increase production costs and reduce supply in most sectors, which leads to businesses to raise their price for consumers. And it all leads back to one thing: supply and demand.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Remember, inflation might go up, but our jokes will always stay cheap. See you next week for our Iran episode. And bye bye. Yeah. Bye bye.